virtual first. Honorable Maneli, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Honorable Maneli, we come to you. Shubon. Vela, Honorable Maneli. Thank you. Welcome back, colleagues. You can switch on your mic, Mr. Samuel. Thank you. We'll now proceed and continue with cross-examination. I forget the buzzer.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Mr. Samuel.
Good afternoon, sir.
You undermine or underestimate Advocate Mkhwebane, correct?
No, it's not correct.
You think that she's not intellectually fit for her job?
Yes, I do.
And you think that she's intimidated by the likes of you?
That is my belief.
Yes. And do you think you should be the public protector?
No.
Do you think you should be the deputy public protector? Did you have aspirations to apply for the job of Deputy Public Protector at some stage?
Not myself, but I was approached to check whether I would be interested.
Whether I'd be available?
Yes. I declined.
But surely you must have thought about this for a few minutes before you declined.
No, not at all. It was an immediate decision.
Is that the problem? That you don't think that you investigators or senior investigators at the same time as Advocate Mkhwebane at some stage, correct?
That is correct, yes.
So you think that she's like, I mean, she's not better than you? Tell me, you don't think you are intellectually lacking yourself?
Yes, I don't think so.
So you are better than her?
That is not what I would say.
No, I'm interested in those stakes, in the intellectual stakes. You are the one.
I certainly think I can handle some things better than she does.
Yes. Well, that is obvious. I'm just saying, do you think that that's part of the problem that we're dealing with here?
No.
It's not?
No, it's not.
Are you a male chauvinist?
No, I'm not.
So why do you think you're better than her? Why? What makes you think that?
I did not say I'm better than her. I said...
Okay. Why do you think you are more intellectually gifted than her?
I said I can make better decisions than she does.
Yes, but you think you also think you are more intellectually gifted than her. We've established that, correct?
Yes, I think so.
Thanks. So, and well, you think that one of the reasons she changed the that structure called think tank is because she was intimidated by you and people like you and Mr. Kekan, of all people.
Amongst others, yes.
Yeah. And once again, if that theory can be proven to be wrong, that you are not particularly more intellectually gifted than her, then again the house of cards will fall, correct? Yes?
If it can be proven, yes, but let me qualify that. My belief, and I think I've said it in so many ways in my affidavit, is that she does not have practical application of the law. I believe she never practiced law, and that is the difference in my decision making and hers, amongst other things.
And you have practical knowledge of the law yourself, do you think?
Yes, I want to believe so.
Good. All right. So, okay, we're going to test that practical knowledge of the law in due course, not now. And you seriously think that, or let me put it this way, we you and I agree that this thing called think tank used to sit quarterly, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And it involved people coming from all over the country and converging in Pretoria, staying in hotels, claiming S&T properly and falsely, those kinds of things.
I will agree with you, but falsely, I do not agree.
Have you yourself never claimed S&T falsely?
No, I've never claimed.
Okay. Have you ever heard of anybody doing that?
No.
In all the 20 years?
I cannot recall ever hearing of anyone.
I cannot recall. All right. But anyway, the think tank thing was a national gathering of people coming from all over. And when Advocate Mkhwebane changed that to a system which saves all that money of traveling to Pretoria, or people staying in hotels, claiming S&T truly, according to you, to a system which was much cheaper, much more efficient, and with the unit, I think you described it yesterday. For example, the quality assurance unit that was based in her office, remember? The Matsawas and Kekanas of this world. Remember?
Yes, I remember.
Yes. For you, all that, she did all that because she was scared of you intellectually.
No, I didn't say that was the main reason why she cancelled it. What I said is that...
Sorry, I interrupted you.
What I said was that I was describing her conduct during those think tank meetings. and specifically her lack of leadership and ability to lead discussions and take decisions on the arguments that we'll be making. And I'm not certainly saying that was the only way that the think tank could operate. I must have testified about this yesterday that there were other alternatives. Just like the management meetings continued virtually, I believe the think tank could also have at least continued, or at least tried that before it is completely scrapped.
Yeah, but you see, you're not the public protector, whatever you might think of yourself. We accept that those leadership decisions have to be taken by the person constitutionally charged with them.
I accept.
So the mere fact that you think you might be intellectually superior to Advocate Mukabane doesn't entitle you to deny her the right to restructure the organization, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Now, so the question I was putting to you is, do you seriously want the committee to believe that her restructuring of the think tank into a much more efficient and less cost-effective body that doesn't involve everyone traveling to Pretoria and staying in hotels and all that was an act of intellectual inferiority? She was just scared of the intellectual giants like you speaking at the think tank.
No, that is not what I'm saying. There was nothing wrong with restructuring it and saving costs. But there was, in my view, everything wrong with delegating that function to a smaller number of people. You've mentioned two. I'm not sure how many people were there, but I know that there were very few, maybe two or three, that quality assurance.
Yes.
And I'm basing that on the results that flowed from those reports.
Yeah. No, don't get me wrong, Mr. Summer. That we can all have opinions as to what structure should be put at any given time. That's not what I'm questioning you about now. I'm questioning you about your inflated sense of intellectual superiority. I'm saying, do you
agree with me?
Yes.
Now, I'm going to ask you that you're beginning to go overboard in terms of the issues and how you're putting to the witness. You've spoken about intellectual giant, which he did not claim. You're now saying he has got an inflator. I don't think that we need to go there. I'd like you to proceed without using that type of language in interacting with the witness.
It's not my language. Did you say that? This should, or rather, just targeting people. This she does especially to senior managers who she perceives to be a threat to her intellectual and legal knowledge. Is it your language, this thing about intellectual superiority, or is it mine? As the chair accuses me.
Yes. That is the language I used in my initial act.
Thank you. All right.
But so, I think what the chair was referring to was, I didn't say that I have an inflated sense of
intellectual superiority.
Yes.
Okay, no, I withdraw that. You just thought that she's intellectually inferior to you. Correct?
In some respects, yes.
Thank you. Yeah. So let's keep it at that. So it's your language that. All right. As long as we've established that, so that I don't get wrongly accused of things. Now,
Chairperson. My apologies, sir.
Honorable Nader, yes.
Advocate Mpofu is making the allegation now that you've accused him from this and that and the other. All you did as chairperson was to ask to tone down the approach in terms of the wording what you used towards the witness. I didn't hear you accuse him of anything. I think that is not correct.
Your order is sustained. Thank you, Honorable Melda.
Okay. Well, thank you, Chairperson. I'm sure there's a reason why you are the chairperson. So let me, I'm saying, Mr. Samuel, you said she perceived senior managers, that would include you and other people who are senior managers. I think you might have even been hired to be a threat to her intellectual and legal knowledge. Correct? And you say, which I submit she lacks considerably. Did you say that?
Yes, I did.
So therefore, she is intellectually inferior to those people, correct?
As I said, in some respects.
That's all I was saying. It's his language, about intellectual superiority or inferiority. It's not mine.
Are you?
It must never be attributed to me.
Advocate Mbofu, I'm the chair here in this inquiry.
I'm sorry.
I redirect you in terms of your language and an approach. You're not going to stay on that issue trying to accuse what I was doing. I'm here to do that exactly, that kind of work for you, to the evidence leader, to the members and everybody here. Well, I don't think that's how we're going to proceed in this manner.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I apologize. But how we are going to proceed is I'm going to use the language used by the witness. Now, I'm saying, Mr. Samuel, you say she lacks intellectual and legal knowledge, the few of you, correct?
That's correct.
And you don't lack intellectual legal knowledge, correct?
I will not claim to be an expert in legal matters, but... And so I cannot say that I don't lack that.
Okay, you lack it less than her. She lacks it. You are a better intellectual and legal giant.
No, that's not what I said. I said she lacks the practical application of the law.
No, that's not what you said. That's I said she lacks... No, I'm sorry, sir. Can I read it to you?
Yes.
Yeah. Said she lacks... considerably, respectively, in that department of intellectual and legal knowledge. She lacks considerably. Do you also lack considerably?
Well, that is an opinion that can be formulated by anyone, but personally, in relation to myself, I don't consider myself to lack, to lack considerably.
Okay. It's only her.
And I can make that opinion about her, but someone can make that up about me. But if you want me to say that I put myself in the same bracket, I don't.
Oh, no, you put yourself in a higher bracket.
That's the conclusion. Yes, you draw, not me.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And you say... She also used the tactic to have colleagues who qualify and are interested in applying for positions like that of Deputy Public Protector disqualified, as she will raise the pending allegations in public and all forms of media, including social media, to tarnish their reputations and have them disqualified. In other words, disqualified from applying for positions such as Deputy Public Protector, correct?
That is correct, yes.
And you stand by that evidence?
Yes, I do.
Right. Now, and apart from other things, this is the reason why she abolished think tank.
No.
Okay, she didn't abolish think tank because she was scared of your intellectual prowess.
I said her conduct in the think tank meetings demonstrated her lack of grasp of the issues, because she would jump from one to the other, and but that is not necessarily the reason why she abolished the think tank.
That is one of them. Oh, I'm sorry. Is it one of them?
I believe it is one of them, because it exposed a lack of leadership, of taking leadership in those think tanks.
Yeah. So you also believe that the abolition of think tank demonstrated her failure to provide leadership, guide and take charge of the think tank, and exposed her lack of legal knowledge and the role she should be playing as leader of Public Protector South Africa. Do you believe that?
That is not what I was saying there. I didn't say that is the reason for her cancelling the think tank.
You did.
I'm saying the result of that kind of conduct showed the lack of legal knowledge, exposed her limited knowledge to the extent that, and this is the effect that I'm drawing, that abolishing the think tank would stop that kind of exposure, where she would feel undermined by her staff.
Say that again.
I'm not saying that is the reason she abolished it. I'm saying abolishing it meant she would put a stop to a process that exposed her to us as lacking that knowledge.
I see. So the two things are not related. So it sitting in the because she was feeling intellectually overpowered, then as a result of that, abolish think tank. It was a coincidence.
I'm saying that is the effect it had.
Yes, but I know you're saying that now. I'm asking you whether it was ever your view that the two things were linked. In other words, she abolished think tank as a result of or rather, she felt intellectually overpowered, and then as a result, she abolished think tank. We've never linked the two that way.
Yes, I won't.
Yes, what?
I will not limit it.
Okay. Then, why did you then say, it exposed her lack of knowledge and the role she should be playing as a leader of the PPSA? As a result, she abolished the think tank sittings and decided to report on her own with disastrous consequences. As a result, would you agree that links the two things?
It does, yes.
And it's then, which one is the truth? Are you lying with this one or with your previous answer where you said you never linked them?
Well, What I said is that it was not the only reason.
No.
She abolished the think tank. I said that was the result of, you know, the effect of the abolition of the think tank.
Okay, so I'm making it up. You never said that you think are not linked.
Honorable Konde.
Through you, can I request that Advocate Mbofu, you know, indicates the references that he's making to in the affidavit, and if possible, if we could have it flighted so that we're able to follow, because, you know, there's a back and forth and we're not entirely sure what he's referring to.
No, I'm sorry, Honorable Konde. It's 2753 Chopperson. It's the statement of Mr. Samuel that was used by Advocate Mazoni as part of the
Are you referring to the initial affidavit?
The first, yes, okay. Pre-B 2021.
All right. 2753. Yeah, maybe next time. Honorable Mazon is an honorable member of the House, so we refer to her as an honorable member, not, we don't know the title of the advocate for her, if you can help us do that, because she's not an advocate.
Oh, well, okay, now I know. But she's been referred to as such, but not my fact. I used to call Dr. Mulder. For the one who used to be here, not you.
Thank you.
I had a very good relationship with Dr. Mulder.
That's fine. Proceed.
I can't say much about some of the members of his family.
Proceed, please. Switch on your mic, Mr. Samuel. Thank you.
Okay. It's 2753. Honorable operator. But Honorable Gonda, it's the middle of the page where it says this demonstrated.
Advocate Mbofu, can I ask you to go back? You remember you made reference to the fact that he indicated that he was intellectually more, if you could just go back a step.
No, if you bear with me, I will all go right there. I'll tell you why, because I started with a later paragraph. So we're going to get there very quickly. Yeah. Mr. Samuel, have you got it? Can you see it? You've got in your statement, 2753, you probably have it in hard copy as well. Yeah.
Yes, of
course. All right, where I was reading, just to round off the point, you say this demonstrated her failure to provide leadership, guide, and take charge of the TT. TT means think tank. And it exposed her lack of legal knowledge and the role she should be playing as the leader of the PPSA. As a result, she abolished the TT sittings and decided to decide on reports on her own with disastrous consequences. Are we together?
Yes.
Okay. So that's how you were, well, not only were you insulting her about the legal knowledge, but you were linking it. The point I was making at that stage was that you were linking the two, unlike what you were saying now. So I was asking you, which one, were you lying in the previous answer or now? Were you saying, which is it? Did you link them or did you not link them? Because one of them is a lie, one of them is the truth.
What I was saying is that my understanding was that you were saying that is the sole reason why she abolished the think tank. That was my understanding.
Okay, no, I'm sorry if I misled you that way. No, I asked you a simple question and I said, did you link the two things? You said no. All I'm asking you now is a different question. I asked you again, you said now you did link them. So I'm saying, which one is the lie, which one is the truth?
I said that was the result. The abolition of the think tank was as a result of the exposure she had during the think tank sessions.
Yeah.
And so it meant that it brought an end to situations where she would expose herself in front of the subordinates.
Yeah.
To be lacking legal knowledge.
Right. In other words, the two things were linked.
If that is the conclusion, yes.
Thank you. Then the father himself, it gave her the sole authority to chop and change reports submitted to her by provincial representatives. That's people like you, correct?
Correct.
And chief investigators to suit her and her political motives and protect those she wanted to protect. Who's that?
I have made a specific argument, evidence specifically to the effect that she protected politicians like the former premier Ace Magashule and Mr. Mosebenzi Zwane.
Okay.
That was the reference.
Okay.
That was
so because of that phone call, that among other things.
No,
the phantom
I consider
phone.
That phone call. I cannot say that it was any of the two politicians that called her. I meant specifically about the fact that she did not want to issue subpoenas against those politicians. That told me that she wanted to protect them. That is what I was, you know, referring to there.
And what were her political motives that you are referring to?
My view is that she supported politically, or she aligned herself with those two politicians.
Oh, I see. Yes. So, her political, just because they are politicians, so they could have been members of the Players Front Plus. And if she supported them or wanted their names to be removed from Michelle's political motives.
Yes, I would still have the same.
Okay. So you meant it in that sense. As long as you want people who might happen to be politicians to be removed, rightly or wrongly, then you have political motives.
But by removed, sorry, what do you mean? Are you referring back to the party or what? Oh, or the names removed from
yes,
the
yes, yes. Sorry, not removed from society, as the apartheid regime used to say.
Yes, I would still believe that she's protecting them.
No. Remember, you separated the two things. Protect those she wanted to protect. We're done with that. But you said to suit her and her political motives. That's what we're examining now. So according to you, that means the fact that she might have wanted people who happen to be politicians to be removed from the report. Those were the political motives. Or is there anything else?
I have not testified to anything else that...
Yeah.
That would fit
in. That, yeah.
Yes.
Well, so that's all it is. It's the fact that she would want them to be removed from the report.
Yes.
And sorry, just so that I don't forget, Honorable Gondwe, if you can roll it to 4.5. Oh, sorry. Thank you. Sorry, my papers. Thank you, Honorable Evidence Leader. Point eight. That's just for that earlier reference.
Well, sir, I think let me find this better.
Just found the other one where I was accused of the word intellectual, where the talks about intellectual knowledge. Yes, it's page 6, sorry.
And her expert, yeah, that's the one.
Honorable Kondo, yeah, it's it starts in the second sentence. Well, you can read the whole thing, but I started on the second sentence. This she does, especially to synonymous, which she perceives to be a threat to her intellectual and legal knowledge, which I submit she lacks considerably.
Okay.
So you don't have to answer anything. I was just assisting the member to locate the. Right. So what you were conveying then, never mind. But the bottom line is this, you wanted the committee or the speaker or anybody who reads this seriously to believe that the reason, or at least one of the reasons, for her to abolish think tank and streamline it in the manner we've discussed was because of this running away from the intellectual inputs of people like you.
If we go back to what I testified to as the purpose of this affidavit that you're reading from, you will recall that I did not prepare it with a view to convincing this committee,
yeah,
or anyone. My sole purpose was for an investigation to be commenced.
Yes.
And so those facts would have been tested against that investigation.
Yes, yes, yes. No, the testing, yes, would have happened. I agree with you. But remember, in this equation, you are the complainant. All right? So it would be tested by the neutral arbiter. But you as a complainant, you believe what you believe. Otherwise, there's nothing to test. Correct?
Correct, yes.
All right. So I'm saying you wanted those neutral people to, even for them to instigate or to institute an investigation, that they have to believe that you have something, isn't it?
That's correct.
Yes. Yeah. So, and that something I'm saying was that she abolished think tank as a result of her intellectual inferiority, correct? Among other things.
Yes, they would have had to interview myself and everyone else that sat in the think tank to come to a decision whether my assertion was correct or not.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's true. They'd interview you and interview her, come to a decision. Maybe agree, disagree with you, but you believe that as the complainant in that equation, that the reason she abolished think tank, among other things, was her intellectual superiority. Whether that would be believed later or not is another matter. You believed
yes,
it.
Yes, I did.
And you still believe it?
I still do.
Good. Well, you are wrong on all counts. That will be her evidence. On all counts, you are That was not the reason she abolished think tank, and you are not intellectually superior to her. So you're wrong on all those counts. So you want to comment?
I will accept that as her view, and perhaps when she testified, she will prove me wrong.
We don't even have to get the. You took how long did it take you to do the further investigation?
You mean myself or?
I mean yourself.
No, I have testified, I've answered that question earlier and said I became involved with the Frede investigation when I relocated to the Free State and took charge of that office. So that was in April 2015. Not immediately, but for all intents and purposes, I was back and in charge of that office. But some things happened, I only got back to work later on. So starting from that time to the time that I recall submitting my report, that would be just about 2 years.
About 2 years, yes. And that's a long time for an intellectual giant, isn't it?
I'm not sure which part to respond to, a long time or not, but I really have reservations being constantly referred to as intellectual giant.
Okay.
That is perhaps the conclusion that you draw.
Yes.
From my evidence.
Okay.
And from what
no,
I'm
sorry.
Saying,
maybe I'm
exaggerating.
Oh, sorry. No. Well, let's withdraw the word giant. So, it's a long time for someone who's intellectually superior to Advocate Mkhwebane. Yes? No? I don't know.
I will only comment on the time. That the rest of your reference I do not agree with. But what I'm saying is that, yes, it's reasonably long.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying we don't have to wait for Advocate Mkhwebane to testify. We can just compare who took longer to do the investigation. It might give us a clue who's intellectually superior. Anyway, how long did it take Advocate Siluma Tonsela to do the further investigation? Since we're on the subject.
It was, I would say, about the same time. I mean, if you look at the fact that it was launched in 2013, and maybe close to 3 years, taking it to the time that she has stopped being a public person.
Even longer than you.
But she was investigating through us, so I don't want to respond to an issue that imputes that Advocate Matonsela did not.
Intellectually.
Yes, I'm not going to turn into that.
Mm.
What I mean is, if you compare, you want to work on those cameras. There was a time that Advocate Mkhwebane started. The investigation against the politicians after the initial report was reviewed and she was queried by the portfolio committee. If we start from that time to the time that she eventually produced the report, when the only aspect she needed to look at was the role of politicians, I believe that it was way too long. If you want me to compare it with an earlier period, as in the time of Advocate Matonsela, I cannot really comment on that, except to say that, yes, she was there during that investigation.
No, I understand. I understand, sir. We don't want to do that. You accept that the kind of job, let me put it this way, you were regarded as, let's call it, the provincial public protector, correct?
No, I wouldn't agree to that. The title is misleading, but I was not the public protector of the province.
No, no, I understand that. I'm saying, I'm using it loosely. I'm saying, in your turf, in the Free State, you are the face of the public. You are effectively, I'm making it up, like the provincial public protector.
If you're saying the face of the public protector, yes, I'll agree to that, but I was not. I don't believe I was viewed as the public protector of the province.
All right. No, so that's fine. The face of the public protector will do for now. Now, you do understand that the job of public protector, real or imagined, is it brings dangers and threats from those that you are investigating.
Yes, I do.
And the people that you are investigating, particularly the powerful, politically powerful, would be want to retaliate and visit you with calamities to discourage you from such investigations, correct? It's to be expected.
I have never been in such a position. I've never felt threatened in any way. So I cannot speculate. I know the public protector has bodyguards. If that is as a result of threats made to her, that is so. But I cannot say that it automatically means, being in that position automatically means that you're facing threats. Yes. Because I've never had any.
Okay. So you think Chief Justice Mokgweng was for speaking for the unanimous Constitutional Court when she said that those powerful forces who might be investigated by the public protector might visit her with what he politely called an unfriendly response. That was actually not in your experience.
Yes, in my experience, personally, you're speaking for myself, I have never been in that position. But
yes,
I know that all the public protectors had bodyguards. So in as far as they are concerned, I know that is preceded by some kind of security assessment.
Yeah.
And to that extent, I believe, yes, there might be
that kind of
some kind of imminent danger, yes.
Yeah. No, that's fine. No, you've said more than three times that you've never been in that situation.
Yes.
And I believe you. So you've never felt that threat just from the position?
Yes, no, I've never felt it.
Never, never, never.
I have never been threatened. And I cannot recall any situation where I would have felt that I'm threatened.
Yes. What about Mr. Siabe? You assaulted him, but I thought you were saying you assaulted him because he was threatening you.
I deny that I assaulted Mr. Siabe. And
no.
that has been my story throughout.
I know.
I described an incident of what happened. And maybe I should just at this stage add, I don't recall doing it yesterday, but I must add that I have appealed that conviction and the sentence. And if you are going to put issues that impute that the matter was finalized and I was found to have assaulted Mr. Siyabi, I am not going to be involved in that because the matter is still before the High Court in Polokwane. I'm not even found guilty by the Magistrates Court, but I have appealed. And I'm sure you and I and everyone else knows that an appeal suspends the conviction and the sentence, or at least if you have appealed against those two. So engaging me in the detail and suggesting that I assaulted Mr. Siyabi, which is what I denied throughout, I will not comment on that.
Okay. But, you know, superior legal knowledge, where does that come from? When an appeal suspends a conviction and the sentence. So if you are in jail and you appeal, you are taken out of jail.
If you apply for bail, yes, you might.
No, you might be. No, we're not talking about bail. You just said that an appeal automatically suspends a sentence and a conviction. Where did you learn that?
Well, I learned I studied law at the University of Natal. I learned it there and in my practice, in the years that I practiced.
Really?
Yes.
So if you had a client who was convicted and sentenced, and then they appeal, they get let out of jail.
That is not what I said. The reason why I'm out is because I paid, there was an option of a fine which I paid, but without prejudice to the fact that I'm challenging. So it is not an automatic thing. In my case, it was because, you know, to put that, to secure my release, I had to pay that. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that automatically means that you're not guilty and so you have to, but the effect of an appeal, and I'll stand by that.
All right, okay, now I hear you. So let me just unpack it for you. So you chose to pay your fine, correct?
Yes.
If you hadn't chosen to pay a fine, you would have been imprisoned, correct?
Correct, yes.
And so let's say that happened recently, you would still be in prison now, correct?
No.
Okay, let's say you that sentence happened 2 months ago. What was the duration?
It was 2 months or 2,000 rand.
Okay.
And
yes.
Half of it suspended.
Yes, I understand. Yes. I'm saying for the purposes of this discussion, let's say that happened last week.
Yes.
So if you didn't pay the fine, you would be in prison now, correct?
Yes, until I apply for leave to appeal.
And it is granted. Has yours been granted?
Yes, it has.
And has the appeal been granted?
No, it's still pending before the High Court.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, Mr. Samuel.
Yes.
We don't have to waste time on this. I'm telling you, okay, let me put it to you so that we save time. I put it to you that if you are sentenced last week to 2,000 rand or 2 months, and you did not pay the fine, and you applied for leave to appeal, and it was granted, you would still be sitting in jail. Am I correct or not?
If I had not paid the fine, and yes, I had not applied for bail, yes, I would still be sitting there.
So I'm correct?
Yes, you're correct, but yes. You know, I just need clarity here, Chair. Are we here, is the purpose of this sitting here to determine my legal understanding or my understanding of the law? Is it to...
No, sir. No. I'm sorry if
so,
I gave
so
you that impression.
I don't know. I just wanted that clarity because you seem to be dwelling too much into this.
As I said,
I don't want to comment much given the fact that it is pending before the court.
I'm really sorry, Mr. Samuel, if I gave you that impression. No. I was just disputing your statement that that simply because you have been granted leave to appeal. That means that the sentence is suspended. That's false. I was just saying that is false. We can't leave this committee with that impression. Do you understand that? You're still a convicted criminal, right?
I choose not to answer and not to respond to that.
No, I'm not. You
know, I don't consider myself to be a criminal.
No, I don't care what you consider. But I'm putting it to you that you are a convicted criminal, Mr. Samuel. Yes or no?
I deny that.
You deny. Well, then you're also lying because you know that you are a convicted criminal. That's fine. So you are a person who's convicted, a criminal convicted of assaulting a member of the public, acting as a provincial public protector or a senior person in the office of the public protector, as you sit there now, until your appeal might either confirm or reverse that, correct?
I do not have a comment to what you said.
You want to assist this committee or not?
I believe I am, but I've made my point clear that I am not willing to go into a matter that is pending before court. And so being labeled a criminal, I find it, you know, objectionable as well.
Okay. I'm sorry if you find it objectionable. You are not labeled by me. You're labeled by the magistrate who convicted you.
No, the magistrate convicted me, but you are the one labeling me.
Okay. What do we call somebody who has been convicted in a criminal
court? So just hold on. You've asked him a question. He has given an answer, says he's not going to comment on that, and he further objected to what your reference. And I would like us to move, Advocate Mpofu, beyond that.
No, Chairperson, we're not moving an inch. We're not going to move.
Why? He's answered you. He's not necessarily going to give you a specific answer that you want. He's given his answer in terms of what he believes is correct.
I don't want any answer. I'm saying that he must tell the truth.
You're asking him questions. You can't say you don't want any answer.
I don't, no,
you've been asking him questions here. So you can't just now come back and say you don't want any answer. Why have you been asking him questions?
I'm saying to you, because you're saying he's not going to give the answer that I want. There's no question that I want. He didn't swear to give questions that I want. He swore to speak the truth.
Yeah, you're not happy with the way he's answering.
Yes, I'm not happy.
Yeah, but that should not really be the problem of this inquiry, because he is answering, Advocate Mbof.
It is the problem.
He is responding to your questions.
Yes, I've said this before.
Responding is spending an hour on one issue.
Well, that's a different matter. Now you're raising a question of time, but you're saying he must not answer my question. You're not allowed to do that. He must answer my question. I'm here.
And he is doing that.
Yes, but answering a question, Chair, is not just moving lips. I'm saying he must answer my question. I've asked him a question, and I'm not going to move an inch until my question is answered.
You have repeatedly asked your questions. He has repeatedly answered your question. Yeah.
What was the answer?
I'm sitting here all the time.
What was the
answer? I'm not going to do that to you.
No, but
I want you to proceed, and because I have to deal with issues of relevance here and the repetitiveness of your questions that you are you answering, which are responded to all the time. This witness since yesterday and today has been answering all questions. You might not like the answers,
yes. So
accept his answers.
Are you okay? Thank you, Chairperson. So you are ruling that my question is irrelevant. That's what you're saying.
Did you hear me saying that?
Yes, you just said
no,
you are dealing with questions of relevance. That's what you just said.
No, I'm saying the repetitiveness of your questions is unacceptable because the directives are very clear in terms of how we need to do that, and you know those directives.
Hmm. What do they
say? I'd like you to proceed, please.
Yes. Okay, thank you. The directives are that I have a right to cross-examine you, sir. That's what I'm busy doing. Okay? And I'm going to do it.
Right.
Yeah. I was saying, Mr. Samuel, sorry before that, that you and I are lawyers. Apart from anything else, you've also sworn to speak the truth to this committee, and you've also committed to assist them. Okay? So don't worry, relax. There's no crisis, contrary to popular belief.
I'm not worried.
Don't worry. Yeah, okay, at least you're not worried. Neither am I. So we are cool. We're going to finish this. If it's going to take us long, it's going to take us long, Mr. Samuel. There's a person here whose job is on the line, whose career is on the line, whose reputation is on the line, whose dignity is on the line, because among others, you sent a document which was taken by a member of this parliament and used to sanitize a motion that was defective in the manner I described to you this morning. And let me tell you one thing for free. We're going to finish this cross-examination and we're going to deal with every topic, because as I explained to you, that was, you are probably the most important witness because you cover the otherwise we'll be kicked out, whatever happens. But anyway, so I was saying to you, what do we call a person who is convicted in the criminal court of a crime?
We call him or her a convicted person.
Yes, that's true. Do we also call him or her a convicted criminal?
That is your conclusion, Advocate Bofu. It's not mine. I do not call a person like that.
No, not you. I'm just in all society. There are 60 million of us. Do we also call that person a convicted criminal?
No, I do not.
Have you ever heard such a term? It's the first time you're hearing it today.
I've heard it, but it was not my, it's not my, my term.
Yes, yes. No, I understand. It's not a term you approve of.
Yes.
But you know you are convicted of crime. An attorney of the High Court of South Africa. I'm sure you're aware of that. Correct?
I'm aware of that.
All right. Now, the point I was really making was not so much this convicted criminal thing. It was that that crime was committed in the course and scope of your duties as part of the public protector? Or is it the public attacker?
The incident happened in the course and scope of my employment.
Yes. Like, you're supposed to protect the public, right?
Correct.
And you have been convicted of attacking a member of the public, a customer of the public protector. Are we still together?
Yes, we are.
Okay. And you can count. You know how to count from 1 to 10.
Oh, are you asking me whether I can count?
Yes.
Oh, yes. It sounded like a statement. Yes, I can count.
Yes. So you said that the when you assaulted Mr. Seabe, it was 2011.
When Mr. Siabi attacked me in my office, it was in 2011 on the 14th of
yes, but Mr. Siabi,
you're putting a conclusion. You're saying I said when I assaulted him, I denied that I assaulted him.
I know you denied.
Yes.
Okay, but according to the magistrate, according to the law, you assaulted him. So when you assaulted Mr. Siabi, it was 2011.
The incident between me and Mr. Siabi happened in 2011.
Yes. And in 2017, the senior public prosecutor revived it.
That is correct.
But you told us that it was revived 9 years later, yesterday, didn't you?
That was not my evidence.
You never mentioned 9 years.
I mentioned 9 years in relation to me being charged for the internal disciplinary hearing, not the court, the magistrate's court action. That one happened in 2017. But for me to be charged internally, amongst the charges that were leveled against me after I had lost my affidavit to the speaker, it happened 9 years later.
So it's even worse. So your charges were reinstated in 2017?
Correct, yes.
And were charged in 2020?
In the criminal court, in the magistrate's court, I was charged in 2017 when the charges were reinstated.
Yes.
But in the internal disciplinary hearing in the Office of the Public Protector, I was charged in 2020.
Correct, yes. No, yes. We are together. That's exactly what I'm saying. So the charges were reinstated in 2017, and in the Public Protector's Office, you were charged in 2020.
Correct, yes.
Okay, so that's 3 years.
Yes, between the two, yes.
Not 9 years.
No, it's not.
Thank you. Okay, now you can count. All right. So, what you are really suggesting, let's cut through the chase here. What you are suggesting was that the public protector was participated in your being charged as a form of some contrived thing. That's what you are really wanted us. The 9 years was meant to convey that, how can this happen? This happened in 2011, and 9 years later, I'm charged. That's really what you wanted to convey. Let's just be honest about that, correct? Or what did you want to convey about the 9 years?
That issue, the issue of me being charged after 9 years was relevant in the disciplinary hearing and in the arbitration, which are now settled. My reference to the fact that I was charged after 9 years was in relation to the other charges that were leveled against me, chief amongst them being the fact that I had written to the speaker to ask for an investigation. That was the context within which I was making reference to that. And by this effect, I was charged internally after 9 years.
That's your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Yeah, now can you answer my question? I'm saying to you that what you wanted the committee to believe was that your being charged was so outrageous in the conduct of the public protector because the incident had happened in 2011, omitting deliberately the fact that actually, the incident had just been revived by the prosecution services 3 years before. So the real gap between the revival and the charging was 3 years, a third of the period that you wanted the committee to believe, if you are not being found out as you are being found out now?
Chair, the crux of my evidence around that issue was, is this. Yes, I'm making the point that in charging me in 2020, 9 years after the incident happened, that conduct by the public protector was some kind of a revenge, in the sense that in 2020 I asked for an investigation into her conduct and how she's handling things in the Office of the Public Protector.
All right.
So no, I'm not done.
Okay, take it.
So, and it is on that same basis that this charge was kicked out in the arbitration, because it did not happen in 2017. It happened in 2019. That is when it starts being counted, to have been, whether it was reasonable or not. The employer, being the office, was aware of this, of this incident, because they came to know about it on the same day when I reported it to the CEO.
Yeah.
So the delay was in charging me about that. That was what was found to be outrageously long.
Okay.
So if you make it, if you take it, if you want to confine it to the day that I was found guilty in 2017, that is not the date that this incident started. And the issue here is, when did the incident occur?
That's the issue for you. I'm saying, Mr. Samuel, that the reason you mentioned that, you just said something now. Let's just tie that down. So you are saying that the employer was presumed to know that the thing started in 2011, because the records are there, obviously.
Not presumed. The employer knew from 2011.
Yes. And no, I mean presumed in the sense that whether they knew actually or presumptively in terms of the law is the same thing. In other words, Advocate Mkhwebane, who was the employer, quote unquote, knew that the incident happened in 2011.
That is not what I said. And to be clear, Advocate Mkhwebane or any incumbent at any stage is not the employer. It is the office that employs me.
I see.
Yes.
Thank you for the education. No, that's fine. Now answer the question.
Thank you.
I'm saying the public protector knows that the incident happened in 2011. Or should know, because the records are there. Is that what you are conveying?
That's correct.
Yes. But yesterday, you wanted us to believe that the knowledge by Advocate Mkhwebane of that fact was because she was a spy.
That, I said around that issue, I said that was our observation as members of the staff, that she could only have come to know about that because of the fact that she worked for the SSA. I never said she was a spy.
Okay.
All I said was because of her background in the SSA.
Mm.
If people that work for the SSA are spies, that's not my conclusion.
They are, mostly. Right. But that's fine. That's not the issue. Let's not get diverted. The impression you wanted the court, rather this august body, to go home with was that the knowledge, which you've now acknowledged, comes from the mere fact that she's the she's the public protector, the boss. You wanted to convey to this committee that she acquired that knowledge because she worked for the SSA.
That is not what I said, and that is not what I'm saying I want.
Okay.
I say our view at the time was
who's
that
our? Who's we?
Me and my colleagues that she made these comments to in that
instance. Okay, let's confine it to you.
All right, yes, fine.
Mr. Dolman, so
my view was that she could only have come to know about this incident probably because she had worked at the SSA. The SSA, my understanding, is that they work with gathering evidence and or intelligence.
I see.
Because, and I said, if you recall, I said it is information that could not have been included in the handover report by Advocate Matonsen, because she knew about it.
Wow.
And it was not, because I've seen the handover report.
Huh. Yeah, no, I can see the novel already. Well, that's fine. That's all interesting, Mr. Sommer. But the point I'm making to you is a much simpler one. I'm saying that you don't believe that she could have acquired that information from another colleague, HR, whoever was there before the time. She knew that information because she worked for the SSA. Really?
As I said, at the time, that was my belief. If it was not, it was not. But and as you say, if she could have acquired it from any other colleague, because they knew about the incident.
Mm.
So that is. But I my belief at the time. That is why I said so here.
Okay. And yes. Now at this time, what is your belief? Is it because of the SSA?
I have not had any information or evidence that refutes that belief.
Huh. So,
so it still is.
It still is.
It's possibly, yeah, it's possible that it still is. It's possible that she might have acquired it when she was in the SSA.
I see. So you think your attack on Mr. Siabi